7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Number one video game podcast coming directly out of 2018. I'm one of your hosts this week, Bryant Mark Zuckerberg Daniels, and joining me across the universe on Skype is none other than Todd Elon Musk Fortner. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, you know, still dreaming about starships and rockets, sir.
Yes, sir. Now, we should get Elon Musk
on this
show. In
a world that don't give a damn.
We should get Elon Musk on this show.
Yeah, that'll never happen. That's not even something realistic to even know. He doesn't even know he exists.
No. Mm-hmm. I think we could entice him.
No, we couldn't.
No,
like not happen. There's officially no way that that's even possible.
I like to dream. Let me dream, Todd. Let me dream of putting Elon Musk on Skip the Tutorial.
No. I'm not gonna do that. Just like I wouldn't let your phone go into enemy hands if you passed away. It's just certain things as your friend. I'm not, we're not going down that road. Especially after the Rogan debacle.
Oh, yeah.
His stock started going down. He's not going to go on a video game show that talks about digital titties and weird Kirby clits and Sonic doing coke. Like, he's not going
to. No.
What?
Yeah, he's not going to want to do that. Like, not at all. Not at all. Why would he?
He's too busy trying to stop the, you know, artificial intelligence Armageddon.
That's
he's probably
true.
Somewhere in an alternate universe battling some space dragon. Who knows what the fuck he's doing, but yeah.
I like to think he's out there battling a space dragon. I think that's probably the best reality in my mind. It fits all my ideas of science fiction and fantasy. That's what I like.
Bada bing.
Yeah, it's the D&D brain talking. Anyway. If this is your first time joining us, we are Skip the Tutorial. We're a video game show. Well, we like to get together and talk about video games, usually what we've been playing, break down some news, and then a roundtable. And then sometimes we do top sevens. This week is a top seven. Todd, what are we talking about this week? I think the people know. I said it last week, but I think the people know.
We finally getting around to our top seven favorite games of 2018. It's that time of year. We're about to go into 2019 and wrap old 2018 up with a nice bow with our top seven 2018 games. Everybody already who listens to us consistently knows what my number one is.
Yeah, that's very true. My list was not much of a surprise to me. It was not much of a surprise. There was one surprise. There was one surprise when I really sat down and thought about it. But outside of that, these games we have talked about a lot this year. You know, I thought, though, that going into 2019, I'd make the announcement. I think we're going to get into selling our own video game consoles. I see the market is now open.
Yeah.
Soulja Boy has opened that market up for us. So I think it's time.
Yep.
Skip the Tutorial consoles. We'll just put those stickers right on the front of that and sell those to Skip the Tutorial. Todd, I did have a question, though. What is going on with this? Because I've barely looked into it. I have no idea what's going on. Am I right? Is he selling knockoff consoles? Is that the deal? Or did he get with R&D and make some? Or what's going on?
Well, first off, people have been talking about this. I really wasn't, like, interested in talking about it. But that's because I haven't been interested in talking about Soulja Boy probably ever in life.
Yeah, I don't think he's been relevant in
but
what,
I was glad that
11 years?
You... Roundabout. I mean, I don't know. He's had some shit in between there. I don't have a problem with the Chi-Town kid in the sense where, you know, he came out with the little teeny bop songs that a lot of people that's probably pissed off at him right now were lit and Superman in that hole back in the gap 11 years ago, but they pissed off at him now. But I mean, and I get it. I mean, whatever, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, for sure. Like that's the thing in the community, I guess. I mean, you kind of have to talk about it because it isn't something that really has been done. So, I don't know. I guess this will be Soulja Boy edition, top seven game of the year.
Yes.
So I don't know, man. First off, like, I've seen some people getting upset about it and be like, oh, he's not even a gamer. I mean, from what I could tell, that motherfucker been playing video games forever. Like, I don't know. Different people, I guess, have different definition of gamers, but I'm sure he spent plenty of time doing cocaine for real. Like, this isn't Sonic. Like, this is fact. You can look up video and shit. Like, playing video games. He's been playing games his whole life, probably. He's a young man still. He's been around for a minute. But, it's just... Can I ask you this? How do you feel about the news? And we'll get into it just a little bit. We're not going to spend a whole bunch of time on this shit, of course. Like I said, I didn't even think about want to talk about it, but I guess we got to touch it. Like, how does it make you feel when you, or like, what do you think about it?
Literally don't care. That's literally my response. I don't care. Like, there's been a knockoff console market since there's been a Nintendo. Like, I don't care who's involved. It's a reality. Like, if you want to do that and people want to go down that path and buy those consoles, all right, that's fine. You know,
And it's kind of crazy because go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, the only thing that makes it different is it's somebody of name involved. But even then, I'm just like you said, it's like nobody's talked about Soulja Boy in years. And I just don't care. Like, I never, it doesn't bother me. It's not something that even was like on my radar until I saw it today browsing the news section. And I was like, wait, what? I thought it was interesting and I'm fascinated by knockoff consoles. But as far as like being mad, I don't care.
I mean, from what all that I understand, it is really, you know, you might as well get the old cherry pie.
Yeah, the raspberry pie.
But nah, you know. Red, that's what it is. I always say cherry. Anyway.
She's my cherry pie.
I set you up for that. I set you up.
You know I love my 80s metal.
The main console, from what I could see, the main console that he's shipping out, I think it was like $150. I'm not sure. It's got like 800 games on it, and it's straight ripping motherfucking, you know, classic games across the board. And the handheld console, you know, I think it has like even more games. It's something ridiculous. And initially, like you said, it's something I don't think it would have gotten as much publicity in the gaming community at all. Like, it could have just blew by if it wasn't for the gaming community itself. And I mean, I guess that's a double-edged way of looking at it. You know, I actually kind of want to get one now.
Yeah.
But I mean, some people got so pissed off when Soulja Boy went at them. Or like YouTubers specifically about, you know, saying something about he don't give a shit about what that YouTubers don't know what they talking about, or content creators like us or whatever, some shit like that. I'm not doing a direct quote of it. I didn't not taking the time to look it up, but that's also where it kind of sparked some rage with folks. And that I found interesting. Like, no, like, you gotta understand, Soulja Boy in the community, the same people that's pissed off at him, and the reason why he thinks he can do some impossible shit like invade the video game culture, were the same people that made him rich off of a quirky song. Like, when Soulja Boy tried to come back to the hood and get tattoos on his face with Gucci Man, wasn't nobody buying that in the hood. Like, wasn't nobody fucking with Soulja Boy like that. It's not until he tries to start to get in the video game industry where he is definitely fucking up. And I mean, okay, I don't wish jail on anybody. But if he goes to jail, he goes to jail. Soulja Boy been supposed to go to jail. Like, he shot people in his own fucking studio. Yeah. Nobody get mad. He's on probation and shit for like gun charges. Nobody's mad. Soon as this nigga try to make some video games, some people lose. I hope you go to jail for 20 years. Like, that's just funny to me, bro.
It kind of is, right?
Like, this, like, at this point, him going to jail for like video games is like OJ going to jail for stealing his shit back. It's just like, we got to put him in jail for something. Whatever, go to jail. That's it. I don't know, man. It's just, it's funny, bro. Like, part of me really wants to care. Part of me also kind of really, I'm like, I wish I had enough money to buy this system. And that's the reason why his name is on the shit. It's actually kind of ingenious. Nintendo will probably sue him. I don't think he'll go to jail. I don't really think I don't even know if it's possible for them to like send him to jail for that, especially when he doesn't create the consoles. It's just his name on it. I mean, it's possible, I guess, if he's selling it on his own site or whatever. But it's just like, that's not, I mean, I don't want him to go to, I don't want anybody to go to jail for 20 years, especially for some shit like that, especially somebody that is, I mean, he's trying to be like, 50 Cent with vitamin water or something. I guess I don't know. My like it's been tried before. It's just not in this market. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's just funny. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it also like I am a firm believer in buyer beware. Like if you're gonna buy anything, if you're gonna spend your money on anything, like you should at least do some research into what you're purchasing. And if you buy something that's a ROM system, you know, that's the only ones who get away with it, I firmly believe, are the elderly who are buying it for like their grandkids. It's like, I kind of feel bad for them. They don't know what they're looking at. But if you're 27 years old and you buy a system because it's got Soldier Boy's name on it and you get it and it's not what you want, that's kind of your fault. Like, in my opinion, that's kind of your fault.
And it's, I mean, I think I saw somewhere he said recently they've sold like 5 million.
That's what he said. Yeah.
excuse me.
No worries. I saw
if
that
that's
too.
Even remotely, if that's even remotely true, it's hilarious to me.
It
like,
really
it's
is.
Hilarious. Nothing about that upsets me.
No, me neither. Good
it's
on
hilarious.
You. Good on you.
But sir. I mean, this is my thing. Like, do you see the same kind of vitriol or any kind of like upset or just vicious, you know, wanting him to go to jail equivalent to what's going on with like the Fortnite suits?
No.
Like, were there content creators that you came across that was like that pissed off? Like, you know what? These people are stealing these folks' dances. What's that boy that did the, what is it? Flossing. The backpack boy that did the flossing dance. That's suing. Wasn't nobody going, getting crazy about Fortnite not paying these people?
Yeah. No.
I mean, I guess it's, you know, it's not apples to apples, but I mean, if you're going to talk about emulation and stealing other people's content,
yep,
all things created equal, would that be considered stealing content? Is that why that suit is out there? So, I mean, I didn't get furious about that, so there's no way in hell I'm going to get furious about fucking Soulja Boy. It's, like, very hard for me to get mad at Soulja Boy. That's like somebody getting mad at somebody that would, is it okay to say retarded? Like,
I don't know anymore. I don't know anymore. Like I thought like, somebody got in trouble for that.
Like a calculus problem.
Yeah, like I think that's what it is. You got to think about like it is a calculus problem to figure out what you can and can't say anymore. Just depending on
that
where
too,
you
but
are.
But I'm just saying, like you're not gonna, yeah, like that's, but that's like you're not gonna be mad at him for not being able to figure it out. Like, why can't you explain the Pythagorean theorem to me? It's like, Soulja Boy, like, what do you expect from Soulja Boy at this point?
I really
you mad
am
at him
amazed.
For video games, not shootings.
No,
but I mean, I guess because it is the video game, it's gonna come over. Like, what, like, you, what? I guess people. I will say this: people that do take this shit super serious to the heart, like, I mean, like we do to an extent. I can understand them being upset about, you know, about a Soulja Boy type character invading their culture. But it's also something that could be pretty self-respective, like self, you can have a perspective, a look inward and say, yeah, okay, why am I so pissed off about this though?
That
for real
would be my question. Look inside of yourself. Why are you so angry
like
about this?
This particular thing, like, don't take yeah. that shit personally.
Personally, it's like, I really look at it and I was like, I just don't care. And part of the reason, I mean, I don't know. I think knockoffs are fascinating. They've been around forever. And when a celebrity puts their name on it, I kind of want to get one. Like, just to see, just to
well,
have
and that's
it.
What I'm saying. Like, the same people that get mad in Discords will be talking about Raspberry Pi.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure, man. And I'm just like, I use a Raspberry Pi. That's a complete knockoff with a wireless Xbox 360 controller. I own all the games that I've downloaded, Xbox people. Just saying, Nintendo. I own all those games. I just like the convenience of playing them on my TV in the living room without the loss quality that you get by hooking up old systems. And maybe if you'd make your video games a little bit more accessible, your old libraries, versus having to pay a subscription fee or try to go find old consoles, and then you lose that quality. Maybe if things were a little bit more accessible, you wouldn't have the knockoff systems and the ROM sites like you do. Just saying. I'd gladly pay a fee.
I think...
Oh, go ahead.
I think another thing, too... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you out. I just didn't want to lose this thought. I think another thing, too, and I might be wrong. I think he said something about calling people faggots or something like that, which I can understand why people would be You're disrespected about it.
I think
and,
so.
I think that's when like people got enraged, like when he started coming at and attacking people. I'd have to look at the quote again. But
that, yeah, and, I think you're right. I think that was actually in the tweet itself, was that word.
Yeah, and I mean, but see, this is the thing. This is the part. And like, okay, that, and then think he also said something about like Nintendo ain't gonna do shit or suck my dick or something like that. And people are like shocked by this.
Yeah.
First off, I understand the trigger word, but when you're talking about ignorant nigga at this point that's from Chicago saying the word faggot, he don't mean it. Yeah, like he means it for what, like in a disrespectful way, but to like that's like a weird. Like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a different.
No, it's
story.
Not. Like I'm taking it too far. Like so I just triggered a whole bunch of people right there, probably. But it's, I don't mean it in any kind of way. I'm just quoting words here.
Yeah, Joe Rogan.
No, I need to stop. We need to stop with the Rogan references, bro. It's not that crucial.
It's really it's not. It's funny. It's not.
But
no, I mean,
but nobody's talking about and doing the research to say, okay, why would he say that or feel that way? Somebody that's been on probation and had gun charges, been involved in murders, and people don't know, how else do you expect him to react to a video game controversy?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing too, is that.
And to wrap it all the way up, I think the last thing he said was they was just trying to keep a black man down thing. And people were like, nobody's, you know, of course, it's the same old. I wouldn't give a damn if he was white, yellow, brown, or purple. He's just coming in here talking a whole bunch of shit. But his levels to like, you know, like you kind of, I mean, from his weird, ignorant, skewed, completely wrong perspective and coming into a market that he wasn't prepared for, on his simplest base, I can understand what he meant. Kind of like when Kanye West said that slavery was a choice. Like, it's the most asinine thing you could think of saying, but at its base level, I understand what kind of ignorant, you know, thing that they, what they were trying or what they felt,
yeah,
you know, was going on with the situation. But yeah, that's my, I didn't mean to cut you off. That was just the full.
No, it's okay.
Talk about the whole thing, get out of the way. Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting wrap up in 2018 to be talking about Soulja Boy and a beef with the entire video game community when he's selling knockoff consoles. And I'm amazed people care so much. Look, he said what he said. He got
while the government shut down again.
Yeah. Like, I'm just like, there's other problems. Like, there's other issues. I talk about video games because I love video games, but I'm sorry if the next Yo-Kai Watch doesn't come out in the United States. I don't give a shit. That's just another video game to take off my list of games to play. Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, some people take it a little too seriously, if you ask me. I come here to have fun.
I mean, I guess I'm one of them. Yeah, and I mean, I guess, like, even me, like, I've gotten wrapped up in this Soulja Boy conversation on this episode. So I guess he accomplished his mission. You know what I'm saying? For real.
Yeah.
But this will probably, like, I'll never want to ever, probably ever talk about this again. Like,
no,
ever. Like,
no.
Because, you know, normally we'll make a joke out of it, like, what the Bill Cosby, or I'll be like, what the Soulja Boy. Like, I can't even, it's not even important enough to make a joke about it. Like, if he goes to jail, I'll be happy he went to jail for shooting somebody, probably, or being out here promoting drug, like, real drug use in a way, transferring over and certain kind of things. I would hope he would get some help, you know what I'm saying, in some kind of way to sit him down.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, you know, for him to go to jail for some shit that other people do, basically, but can't see that they, like, I know a lot of people will tune this out, but, like, you know, people doing the same shit that they accusing that they need him to go to jail about, and even saying it in the same sentence is just a weird sign of the times.
Yeah, it really is. It's really a bizarre world, and we live in a world full of hypocrites.
I mean, we it's nothing wrong with having, you know, a dichotomy about you. And I mean, shit, we all can be hypocritical.
We can.
But it's, you know what I'm saying? It's I don't know, it's just funny, man.
Yeah, man, it's
crazy.
It's a weird, like, it's a very strange and bizarre world that we live in. But we are here to celebrate the best of 2018. the best video games of 2018, that is. I would do a movie list, but I haven't seen as many movies this year as I'd like to. But my number one would be Tales from the Hood Part 2. Go watch it on Netflix. It's fantastic. I'm serious. I'm actually serious. I love that movie. It's my not my number one, but I love that movie. Come on, Todd. You knew I'd love that movie. You know me well enough to understand. I love really good things and really bad things all at once. Those are my favorite things, except bad video games. Todd, I do really want to quick, before we get to our seven best of the year, can I give you my three worst games of the year? I won't spend much time on them. I promise.
Go ahead.
Number three was Vampyr. I was very disappointed by this game. There's a lot of love for this game in some corners of the internet, but for me, I just was not feeling it. And from that studio, I was expecting a little bit more. It was more of a disappointment. I'll put that. It wasn't a terrible, terrible game, but my overwhelming disappointment with the game made me put it on this list. Number two, Fear Effect Sedna, coming out for the Switch. Fear Effect Sedna, God, this thing can go burn in hell. I don't want any more Fear Effect in my life if this is all you're going to do with it. And my number one was Agony, which was just hot garbage. It was a garbage fire. It was just on fire when it came out, and it stayed on fire, and it never went away. That's what I'm going to put on that one.
Yeah.
Those are my three of the worst of the year. Now let's get on to the good stuff. Todd, why don't you get us started?
Let me list one worst of the year, but yes, I loved that game. Shaq Fu.
All right. That game ended up on so many bad lists of the year, and I was like,
man, but it was not a good game. But I liked it.
I thought it wasn't it wasn't a good game, but I think it's a game that knew what it was, which is what I liked about it.
Good explanation. But all right, now this list was tough. And this is, speaking of being hypocritical, I'm gonna be kind of weirdly hypocritical here. So I'm gonna just rip the Band-Aid off.
All right.
My number seven favorite game of 2019 that I would play and actually spend time with, favorite games of the year, is NBA 2K19.
Boom. There it is.
It's and that's, even though it is egregious and surely sparked mass microtransaction Armageddon that I know may be irreversible. It's evil. You pay $50 for the fucking game. You got to pay another fucking $50 for it to even be fun at all, whether you play in my career or in the park. And that's just to get started. That's not even talking about badges. At least this year, you didn't have to pay for haircuts. It's just evil. It's evil. And the only reason I got it, I almost didn't even get it this year. But if I'm going to be real, after you get past all the microtransaction shit, peel it away and say, okay, as far as the game and for the people that fuck with these games that help to fund other games that know, you know, the Maddens and everything else, 2K19 is my sports game of the year. So if it's going to be my sports game of the year, and just being honest, just fucking with it, like, I do like my character. Shout out to Oreo Versace. Me and him got a good play now game on, and he let me run with his Lakers, you know what I'm saying? And had a great basketball conversation. You know, I gotta give 2K19 his credit for just being one of my favorite sport. I play basketball. It's the beautiful game, like I call boxing the sweet science. I'm just like, when I watch it, I'm like, this, it's the beautiful game. And that translates over in the simulation style 2K19 game. I was like, in Live 19 though.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that this is the last year with 2K not truly having competition and transitioning over to having competition, and maybe we can start attacking these microtransactions, because Live 19 was dope as fuck too. That's definitely a mention, and I gotta mention it in the 2K-ness. But yeah, man, 2K19, I've been spending time with it. I'm gonna be spending time with it. It's the heat of that time in the sports world. You know, with football season going into the playoffs and basketball season gearing up. And I mean, I also got to give a shout out. What really got me back into it this year was the experience that I had in the tournament recently for the charity event that we did with the, you know, Skip the Tutorial was there and everything. thing, and I shouldn't even been in the tournament. And I talked about it in a previous episode. But that experience in the tournament environment is still carried over. I love a lot of things about the game play itself.
Yes, sir.
It's just it's just hard for me to put it on my list because it's hard to support any of the egregious shits, but I got to keep it real with myself. So that's my number seven, man. What's your number seven?
That is what this list is about, is just being honest with the games that we spent the time with this year. My number seven surprised me. I mean, it really did, because it kind of came out of nowhere. We've talked about this for a little bit. I played it because of the Xbox One Games Pass that's available. But my number seven is also my favorite sports game of the year, and that's Forza Horizon 4. I didn't realize how much time I had spent with this game. And Todd, you know I'm not a racing fan.
Yeah. I'm not going to.
Sorry. I had
to.
No, it's okay.
We'll have to record these soon so people can see the faces.
That's true. But yeah, my number seven is Forza Horizon 4. Not only is it beautiful, the difference in the controls is what it really nailed it down for me. I mean, it's a beautiful environment, and of course, there's a lot of detail. Forza is known for its kind of beautiful environments and the cars and kind of the fun. But there was a lot to do in the game itself. There was a lot of different types of missions. There's a lot of different types of races. I raced a giant airboat. That was really cool. But also what kind of amazed me was the difference in the handling of the cars, that you could actually, there was some tangible relationship between you and the controller depending on the car that you were driving. I mean, it was a really cool experience. It wasn't heavy on microtransactions. It was extremely easy to earn the money to buy cars. I thought that was really cool, the in-game currency, without having to spend any money at all. And then you go through the racing process. It's just a really cool game. You know, it surprised me how much fun I loved it. But it also reminded me of when I was a kid and we used to go into the arcades. That'd be like one of the games we'd play. We'd play Cruisin'. We'd play the Cruisin' World games or Cruisin' USA. We'd always play the racing games because they are multiplayer. They had the steering wheel and you always wanted to drive as a kid. And I forgot how much fun that experience could be. And as an adult playing Forza Horizon 4, you know, if I get to drive a Dodge Viper, I'm never going to drive a Dodge Viper in real life. I can't fit in the damn thing. But playing it in the game is a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. So my number seven is Forza Horizon 4. Todd, what's your number six?
I'm just tickled you were talking about not being able to fit in a Viper, Brian. I think you could possibly fit, bro.
They're too tiny.
If Shaq can fit in a Mustang rental car, you can fit in a Viper, man. Stand strong, sir.
I will try.
Skip the tutorial, tribe. You can fit in a Viper.
I'll get myself in a Viper.
Nah, I'm so glad you made that. That's a great choice, man. I really cannot wait to fuck with that game. And just as a reminder to myself, like, this list, as far as honorable mentions, any honorable mention here is like a legit solid fucking game on my list. It's just when it Me came too. Down to what like I've been playing, it's just like, okay, well, let's just keep it 1,000. So, all right, my number six. Let's just get straight to it. Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Boom. I had a feeling that was going to be on there.
Yeah, man. I got to keep it real with myself, bro. This is like the game I have asked for since I was 16 years old.
That's true. That's very true.
Like, Budokai 3 was dope, and I love the term Budokai. It's just something about it just rolls off the tongue right. Budokai. You know Budokai. What I'm talking about?
Yeah, yes.
I wouldn't say so. You ruin it when you with the Budokai. You still got to keep it rolling Budokai to insinuate. You generally the master that, B.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
It's the name of my porn tape, Budokai.
Oh, man. Hey, bro. Oh, wait. Let's segment. So my mom listened to a show, right?
Oh, no.
My mom listened to a show.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Which would bug me out. I'm like, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? It's like 8 people in Cambodia listen to our show. I really think some of our people that are on our page are like bots or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But my mom, just kidding. My mom asked me, what is a Dragon Kiss Budokai?
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, excuse me. Dragon Kiss Bukkake, Toddy. I was like, oh, mom.
Oh, no.
My sister was there. I was like, mom, it was, I don't know if I told it was like a mixed drink or something shit like that. I don't know what I said, but I really just try to avoid the situation. You know what I'm saying?
It's best. Don't go explaining what that is.
Like, it's a mixed drink, mama. Don't worry. It was something that you shouldn't have been just skip that part in the show. We just be talking shit. I talk about Soulja Boy and get a tone that people might find aggressive when it's, I really don't mean it that way. Check yourself. Anyway, Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yes.
Originally, what I used to call Dragon Ball FighterZ. It's just my shit, bro. Like, whose ass did I whoop? And I'm not even good at the game. You know what I'm saying? I got my ass whooped. Just, it didn't matter, though. Like, the storyline was dope. Everything was cool. And, I mean, I could just imagine, you know, in the tournament world. I can think it was Sonic Fox that fucks with. I think I watched a couple of clips with him. It's just a great fucking experience for me, man. It's another fighter that is not on my list that really, I don't know. I just had to keep it real with myself, but it's definitely moving up quickly. But yeah, man, it's hard for me to even describe how they captured everything. If you haven't played it, and if you're a fan of Dragon Ball, you just need to own it, period.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, you're a fan of Dragon Ball and you own a PlayStation 4 or Xbox 360 or PC or Switch, whatever console that you have it on, purchase it immediately for whatever price you have.
Absolutely. And I will say this, it is like, you know, not a fan of fighting games, but it was one of the most beautiful fighting games I've ever watched.
That's what I'm saying.
I watched a lot of that game. Like, that was the thing, is I'd get online and watch people who are at the top level of their performance play that game, and I was never bored. In fact, I was engrossed completely. And when the fight was over, I was like, wait, that's over? That's incredible. That was an incredible experience. No, definitely. My number six also has the word dragon in it. It's a different kind of dragon, though. It's Dragon Quest XI. Dragon Quest XI. So this would be higher, probably, I bet, if I would have gotten to the end of the story. But I'm about 14 hours into the game. Here's the thing that I love about Dragon Quest XI, and I couldn't knock it. Like, I couldn't not put it on here. And part of the reason is that because modern day RPGs have gotten to a point where they've kind of lost the same, almost, I'll say, the whimsical feeling of the RPGs from the PlayStation 1 and Super Nintendo era. You know, it's a little bit different. Dragon Quest managed to maintain that whimsy. It managed to maintain that fantasy environment, kind of the cartoonish nature of it, just kind of how beautiful everything was in the game. And it went back to doing, you know, the menus, the turn-based action, etc. It just felt like the way you would do an old school RPG in modern times with modern graphics without having to rely too much on nostalgia, which I was really impressed with. Yes, that is what she said. She's always thinking about the former lover. That was too much. I'm going on to the game. But no, this was a really, it's an impressive experience. It's a beautiful world. For you Switch fans, it's coming to the Nintendo Switch along with Persona 5. I'm thinking I'll probably rebuy them both. But Dragon Quest XI, if you like old school RPGs, especially old school JRPGs, let me make sure I clarify that. This is the game for you. It goes well within the Dragon Quest mythology. It goes great with those other games. If you've played a Dragon Quest game, it feels like one. You know, it felt very much like what... it felt like they succeeded in what they were trying to do. It was like Star Ocean came out with their PS4 game a couple years ago, and it was god-awful hot garbage. And the reason was because they tried to kowtow to modern sensibilities. Dragon Quest said what makes Dragon Quest good and kept it there and just did their thing, and people responded positively to it. And that was, you know, what I was looking for in that experience. So my number six is Dragon Quest XI. What's your number five, Todd?
Dope choices, sir, as usual. My number five is, I don't be meaning to do this. I guess it's just, I don't usually notice it until we're recording. That's crazy. But it's Far Cry 5.
Far Cry 5.
It's my only first-person shooter on the list.
Oh, shit. I don't think I have a single first-person shooter.
Yeah, I didn't think about it until right before we started recording. But, yeah, man, I really enjoy Far Cry 5. And, I mean, there's a cougar named Peaches. I still have an emotional, like, connection to that, you know, fictitious character. Maybe because I own a cat named Logan. And it's like a big cat that went around. And then she just killed the most folks with me. Plus, it was just like memorable experience. Even though I did not get to delve off into it as much as I've liked, I mean, but the co-op experience was fun. Like, I got a chance to play with William, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was just, it wasn't for an extended period of time, you know, with him in particular. But, like, when I first got the game, I really wanted to check out the co-op experience. And it really, it was just memorable. It was memorable. The story still alone by itself is just a good classic first-person shooter feel. And the way the game even loosened the reins more to just have, you know, a player experience-based kind of game, where you didn't even have to really get in the storyline. You could just ride around in a big 18-wheeler and, you know, shoot up shit, blow shit up. It was just a good thing. And, I mean, I enjoyed the storyline. Whatever little controversy that they had as far as it not being politically charged enough, I really wasn't digging into it that deep. I just liked the setting and everything. And it was a good fucking game. It was cool. Ending was, you know, what it was. Didn't really fuck with multiplayer or, like, the arcade too much, but it had to be on the list. Like, definitely had to be on there. So that's pretty much all I got, man. Far Cry 5 was dope.
Excellent choice, man. It's one that I wanted to get to experience this year that I did not get that opportunity to. But I will be putting it on my games to catch up with, obviously.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I actually ordered it with an Amazon gift card because it was on sale. So that it'll be on the way. My number five is an indie game that I've talked about extensively. I spent a lot of time with this game this year, found it really enjoyable and addictive. It's a roguelike side scroller. If you hear that, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Dead Cells. Dead Cells.
There it is.
It's got my two favorite words in it, dead and cell. I don't know why I said that. That doesn't make sense. Those aren't my favorite words. I'm just rambling. No, but Dead Cells is a lot of fun.
Man, no, I wasn't. It's so many levels of confusion.
You're right.
But no, I'm glad. But no, I'm fucking with you, man. I'm fucking with you. Dead. Go ahead, bro. The synergy was there. I knew you was coming with the Dead Cells.
Dead Cells, my friend. Dead Cells. It's one of the most inventively fun action experiences I've had all year. It's quick-paced combat, it's enjoyable upgrade systems, it's fun to explore the map, try to beat your own time, the boss fights are incredibly enjoyable, and at the same time, they're also incredibly difficult. It's this year's Hollow Knight for me. I love the music, I love the art style, I love the way the game plays. I had so much fun playing Dead Cells. Still have not beaten it, but I played that sucker for 29 hours. I looked at my account. I played that for 29 hours this year, which is incredible to me that I spent that much time on a game that just repeats itself. But that's not a bad thing because it's a roguelike side-scroller. I really enjoyed Dead Cells this year. That's my number five. I highly suggest it if you haven't gotten a chance to get it. Todd, what is your number four?
Man, you be covering some bases, bro. I can't, but anyway, all right, so now we getting into pure kind of, some of this is just nostalgia and just is what it is, but we not quite there yet. But this game, I didn't finish this one, so, you know, feel no shame for Dead Cells. I was running on a classic game at the same time concurrent with as my girl was playing, you know what I'm saying? But I got enough hours into it, and, you know, she flipped the motherfucker. It felt like almost, you know, I don't know, it took her probably 73 hours to completely flip it. You know what I'm saying? I got at least good 25 hours in, enough to get the feel. But I had to put Assassin's Creed Odyssey on here, man. You know, because I'm just a fan of the series. Now, you know, personally, we've discussed this. As far as the games between this and Origins, like, I slightly, you know, enjoy Origins a little bit more experience. Now, it still kind of remains to be seen. I haven't 100%ed it, even though I've seen it. You know what I'm saying? Enough to get a feel for it. I also didn't have the same kind of drive and desire to 100% it yet.
Yeah.
But as far as just the whole series, and so part of this is me kind of encompassing the whole series and everything that's comes with it, and the fact that I believe if you're into this type of game, we're getting to the point of, you know, cost versus time, and if you at $60, like, this game, you know, worth your money. If this is the only game you could get, how much were you going to be able to get out of it time-wise?
Yeah.
That's why this one is definitely on my list. You know what I mean? Like, I have to put that on the list where I know I can go back and fuck with this game. If this was, like, if I was struggle time and it's the only game I had, I would be all right for quite a while.
Yeah.
Like, I would be cool with life if I was into this type of game. So that's my number four, bro.
Man, I'm still playing it, and I absolutely love it. It made my also run list this year. I just started looking at all the games that I've played this year, and, you know, it got really close. It really is. If we were going to a top 10, it'd be on there because I really have enjoyed it. Like you said, I like Origins better, but Odyssey's got some really good moments. It's got some cool little things to it that I really like, too. My number four is going to be no surprise to anybody who listens to this show. I've talked about it extensively this year. I spent more time on this game, I think, than any other game. Todd, you saw me on PlayStation on this game all the time. My number four is Monster Hunter World. Monster Hunter World. I mean, what can I say about this, man? I'm a Monster Hunter fan, number one. So that was just naturally. It was going to be either this or it was going to be Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate. But Monster Hunter World did something that no other Monster Hunter game has done, and that was break open that niche game series to a bigger audience and to a really fun online experience. And you could play it online or you could play it solo. I like that too. I personally preferred to play solo because I'm a angry man, and I don't like to talk to people. That's what I know. I would have played with my friends, but the truth is I have no friends except for you, Todd, and nobody was ever online.
Hold up, bro.
Yes,
bro.
Yes.
I did. Look, man, we just had the Dead Cells conversation literally like 3 minutes ago. Like, for real, my dude, you can't.
I love it.
As a reminder, in Skip the Tutorial, it's always been about the experiment of bringing different type of people together surrounded by something that we all love. Not to say I'm just like a token Negro and he's just a token white guy, and that's what that means. Like, there's no other people out there that are different that create content together. But at its base core, that's what the conversation came to be about.
Yes.
on different levels. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I just, going into the new year, I got to say that one time, man. But I'm so glad. I know with the Monster Hunter shit, too, like, you are being legit. You did try to give me that, sprinkle me that crack. But that's also something that I love about the show. Like, because, you know, we grind, too, on the other side. Like, a lot of other people, like most content creators right now, this is something we talk about and we enjoy really for the passion of it. And, you know, just for the people, the little subtle, small tribe, you know, that's grown from it, and just it's just something we enjoy. We talk about stuff that we would talk about anyway. It gives us an opportunity to play different type of games. Like, I didn't get a chance to play Monster Hunter yet, but you got a chance to experience it. We got a chance to communicate about it, so we would be able to flip from one game to another. Like, you didn't get a chance to play Far Cry, but, you know, it just being that everybody is busy where we don't have full-time time to play games all day, every day, I think that's one of the things that's been cool and kind of it's matriculated through the whole community. Like, we could just kind of help each other out to carry the weight and still be true to what we enjoy. And that's really what I felt with Monster Hunter, because I really wanted to play it this year. It was just, I don't know, time just didn't allow it, you know what I'm saying? And I felt like I was playing it through you. You know what I mean? It was weird. So, but anyway, bro, sorry, man.
It's been one of my favorite gaming experiences of the year. You know, once I get that itch, I have to go play it. It's one of those few games that it's like, whatever I'm doing, I have to stop what I'm doing and go pop it in and play it and at least hunt one monster. But it's just an incredible experience. If you like Monster Hunter, if you want to give it a try, you know, I highly recommend it. It's on sale all the time now, and it's definitely worth your experience the most impressive thing to me is to really sit there and try to learn the inside of the game, the actual more complicated portion of the game and some of the min-max stuff, which I really enjoy. But the other incredible thing about it, too, is you don't need to have fun. You don't need to do that to have fun. You can just have fun and play the game. That's the other part I really liked about it. But Monster Hunter World, beautiful game from Capcom. Love it. Now, Todd, we're moving into our top three. I have a feeling our top three are the exact same. And I have a feeling they're in the exact same order. What is your number three, Todd? And I'll tell you if it's mine.
I know it is.
It's got
to
be.
It is going to... Yeah, but this top three is still extremely hard. We talked about that.
Yes,
like months ago. But yes, yeah, it's Marvel Spider-Man, bro.
Yep, that's my number three as well.
Easily could have been my number two. Easily could have been my number two. You know,
it's a beautiful game.
I don't know.
Game.
I don't even know what. Yeah, it's just a beautiful game. It's like the developer said, they produced a product that was therapeutic in a sense, and just the way you traverse, just the way you move around. And you can pick it up. You cannot play it for a while. As soon as you pick it up, take a little time to get your feelers back. Now, you might get your ass whooped as far as combat is concerned in a warm-up, but as far as just moving around the map, it's like riding a bike, and it just feels good. And it just the immersion of it, amazing. And I mean, like, I'm it's fresh coming off of watching Spider-Man Into the Verse.
Yes.
You know, I still got to finish that little cheap ass DLC, but I'm so thankful I got it. I hadn't had a chance to finish it. I think I've been kind of waiting and falling back just to give me an excuse to give me the time to make a proper run on it. To be like, once I beat it, I'm gonna be like, eh. So I kind of have some DLC to still play. If you haven't got it, get it. I don't know how I feel about suggesting spending the amount of money you're gonna have to spend to get the DLC. I would still, if you're going to want to get the whole package, I would really wait until it goes on sale. But you don't need the DLC for it to be on my top three. And none of these games need DLC to be on the top three. But I know you loved Peter Parker. And one more thing before I let you run on that. Two things about that Spider-Man Into the Verse movie, which kind of ties into the game. I hope they put some of the costumes in the game. One, I feel no type of way about my affinity for sweatpants and the comfort that they supply, and the art style was just super dope in that movie. Like, it was really cool. Like, I was unexpectedly moved by that movie. It was incredible. But yeah, bro, I mean, what was your, I don't know, man, do your thing. Spider-Man.
It was probably one of my favorite Spider-Man stories ever told. Now, I mean, the big detractor and why it was number three for me was the combat. Ultimately, I enjoyed it, and it was at first, you know, a little bit, I wouldn't say difficult, but you did have to catch the flow of it. But once you caught the rhythm of the combat, which didn't take that long, the game became extremely easy. But I would say that the storyline, the traversing of the world, dealing with the different, the Doc Ock and that whole story and the Aunt May story, it was just a beautiful game. It really was. And you know, my number three, I mean, I took more pictures in-game than a... In fact, it's the only game I've ever done photo mode on that I gave a crap about. That was the one thing. That's also something that really took me by surprise. But overall, it's just a beautiful game. I agree with you, Todd. And I can't wait to see Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I've been wanting
Man,
to see
Stan
it.
Lee. The Stan Lee cameo.
I heard it's amazing. I heard it.
And I think it's his last one.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Spider-Man the game, but no, I definitely see this. And that Stan Lee cameo in the Spider-Man game was pretty incredible, too. I really enjoyed it. Todd,
see?
I'm going to guess what your number two is.
It's Red.
Yep.
No, it's God of War, man.
Is it really? We are actually out of order this time.
I'm fucking with you.
I knew it. Your number two is Red Dead. My number two is Red Dead. This easily could have been both our number ones. Easily. But why did you pick Red Dead 2 for your number two over your number one game of the year?
Well, okay, now I need you to go first on that one. I went long on the Marvel because it ties into why number one is number one, which is already obvious. So why did it make your number two? That I'm more surprised at this. I really am more surprised at this on your number two. That's the truth.
I had to really think about this game. I had to really think about Red Dead 2 versus God of War, the things I liked about both of them. I loved Red Dead 2's entire experience. It's one of the best gaming experiences I've had in the last probably 10 years. It's amazing. So was God of War. However, when I came down to it, you know, it came down to a few things. Number one was, for me personally, just my personal opinion, Red Dead 2 goes on a little bit too long. It overstays its welcome with the epilogue. I like the epilogue. Don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed it. But that really could have been compressed. Some of the missions in Red Dead 2 I found to be extraneous and unnecessary. I understood why Rockstar did it the way they did it. I understood that they wanted us to explore more of the map. So that's where some of those missions take you, which I get. It's got a beautiful ending. It's got one of the best endings I've ever seen in a game. But also, when it came down to it, some of the kind of wonky controls and the combat issues overall. And the other thing, too, is God of War was, it just felt more epic to me. And I know that's hard to say because you had this epic West tale in Red Dead Redemption 2 that goes on for 45, 50 hours, however long you played the game. And I really enjoyed the world and the environment. But God of War just felt like this incredible resurgence. It has everything I loved about, you know, love about storytelling and love about video games. The combat was challenging. It was interesting, and it constantly stayed fresh. It was compressed. It didn't overstay its welcome, and it was the exact length it needed to be. The battles were always epic, those last battles at least. That from that first fight with the stranger to the first time you face off against a dragon. It was just an incredible experience. It was a beautiful world with no loading screens. And I understand that we're looking at the difference between open world and semi-open world. However, God of War...
Or pseudo, yeah.
You know, and God of War just checked all the boxes for me. And at the end of the day, it became very much about very minor things that I had to compare. And also at the end of it, too, was the story experience of dealing with Kratos and his son was just... Overall, the other thing, too, that really gave God of War the advantage for me was they had an escort partner in the game that was not a detractor. It was an escort that was actually part of the game and part of the overall strategy of the game, which is why I ended up picking up God of War as my number one. Todd, what about you?
I mean, okay. God of War is going to be my number one because I am biased to God of War.
Fair enough.
From the beginning, and I've consistently... The trilogy of it, like the whole catalog, the whole God of War lore, the whole game, when it's just cheesy hack and slash beat 'em up is type game, but it changed the genre because every game that was that style started trying to become clones of God of War. In some ways, it built into some of the superhero games, I think. But that's the biggest part of it. Then there's a secondary phase of, okay, I reference her a lot, probably not enough though still. My old lady, my girl, my woman, my queen, right? My polar opposite.
Yes, sir.
Polar fucking opposite. I value her opinion immensely when it comes to gaming because I know she real about it and she game. And, you know, it's just a total different opinion and I can be, you know, strongly opinionated. And with my side of everything, just playing all the games, I'm just like, man, I'm just being biased. You know, let me ask her, because she young and she didn't even play the other games. She came at this fresh, never playing a God of War game. And it wasn't like we played at the same time. She literally sat there, watched me beat the game. And then she went back and went through her own run through on the game. And same thing happened with Red Dead Redemption. Like, she sat there and watched me go through the whole game. She still hasn't played Red Dead Redemption. Hasn't had the desire, like played it a little bit. Red Dead Redemption, I said previously, it has a chance to be like the game of the decade if it follows the GTA, skeleton model blueprint, where it just is going to be an online experience that's going to carry on for years to come. But you're right, it did. God of War provided a more concise story that was still very impactful, whereas Red Dead Redemption gave an immense amount of, you know, content. And it's really a piece of art. It's an experience. It's hard to even categorize.
Yeah.
But when you stop at the normal, after Epilogue 2 is over, you transition off into online land. And that's where it got interesting for me. That's where it kind of took away some of its luster. And it shined even a brighter light on God of War. And just the experience, just that it was like I could go back and play God of War all the way over again instead of playing Red Dead Redemption online right now.
Yeah.
Just from that initial controversy. So just stepping all the way back from it, just all inclusive. I really was kind of on the fence on it because I at first when Red Dead Redemption came out, I was like, there's no way in hell that God of War win Game of the Year. Now with Red Dead Redemption, I was probably like 60% through Red Dead Redemption 2. But when it came down, I really sat back and thought about it. I mean, I thought about it before. We discussed it before. Like, I almost put Red Dead Redemption 2 on top of it still, even after the Game of the Year and everything came out.
It came close for
but
me.
But I just, yeah, but I just honestly, in good conscience, could not do that.
No, I couldn't either. It was, it came down to a matter of specifics. And also, it came down to a matter of how I responded to the story. And I found that God of War's story has stuck with me after, I mean, when did it come out? Was it April of 2018? Or was it?
So.
I think April of 2018.
I want to say like 420. I need to double check, go look.
I think you're right, but it stuck with me. And Red Dead 2, while it has stuck with me, I can feel it fading, if you feel me on that one. And God of War has just... The feeling of getting to the end of the game, walking up with your son, getting the name of your son, and then just, I always go back to that one moment of where I texted you and I was like, holy crap, did you go back to the cabin yet? Like, it just, that overall experience for me of just, and part of it too was the challenge. I really liked the challenge of God of War because it felt like a new combat system and it had those RPG elements to it too. So it was overall, it was just it came down to, you know, you had this really large game that was open world and an incredible experience and a great, fantastic story versus a more condensed story with a few less choices, but those choices and the things they focused on, they really polished well. And I'm not saying Red Dead Redemption 2 wasn't polished, but there was also moments where things got clunky or weird. And you kind of expect that with, you know, an open world game. And God of War, they made that choice to make it semi-open world, which...
Yes, semi-open world. Just gave it an advantage that
it did.
That can plague any open world, no matter how great of an experience it is, an open world game.
Yeah,
you know, you just run into some kind of simple, like, same tropes, same traps. But do you remember the conversation? I was a little bit ahead of you, and I didn't want to spoil the Blaze of Chaos.
Oh yeah,
but you weren't remember that conversation where I was just like, "Look, something's gonna happen," and you were like, "Look, like you almost was just like, tell me, you know what I mean?" But yeah. I was like, "I can't tell you,
man." And when it happened, it's the only time all year that I've jumped up off of my couch playing a game, going, "Hell yes!" like screaming it. Like, I was so excited when it happened. And I think about that moment, too, when it came down to this, was my visceral response when I first played the game, you know, and just, it was just a beautiful, wonderful game. I mean, it really is. But that is literally our number one game of the year, Todd, is God of War.
Yeah, man.
It wins our game of the year. Yeah. Put that sticker on it and sell it. STT Game of the Year Edition.
Started out talking about Soldier Boy, ended up talking about Thor.
And I was gonna say, put a Soldier Boy sticker in there for us. Just do it.
Crank that. You
woo.
I don't know what the fuck he sings. Anyway,
I don't know. Do you have any also runs? I got quite a few.
Nah, man. These aren't just like these are. Okay. Shout out to Hiker. Shout out to Mike Perot. Shout out to Bill, shout out to Derek, shout out to Oreo Versace, shout out to William, shout out to Lil Rallyo, Loki,
Venom,
Big Willie, Venom, Sybil,
Wesley,
everybody. I know I'm forgetting other people, Frankie, you know, all the people at the Smoke Shack, you know what I'm talking about, all y'all, because a couple of these I didn't even get a chance to touch. But they'd slap me if I didn't say. So, like, one, you already mentioned Dead Cells.
Yep.
You picked up the slack on that one. Subnautica. Shout out to David. Celeste. You play Into the Breach. I got to fuck with it. I know Overcooked 2 is some shit that you brought up. Shout out to you. Another shout out to you. Persona 5. Black Ops 4. Just Cause 4. Shadow of the Colossus. I think that came out this year.
Yeah, the reboot. The remake came out this year.
Detroit Becoming Human. Shout out to you kind of on that one. Octopath Traveler.
Yeah. Still one I got to play.
Fucking. And most importantly, second most importantly, Fist of the North Star. That is my shit. Like, if we had a top 10, a couple of these would be on my top 10. And fucking Smash Bros. Ultimate, bro. That one was the hardest one for it not to make my list. That's hardest fucking game not to be on my top 7 this year. Just personally, like I said, what I actually have built up to play. That game, I'm going to end up spending so much fucking time with. It doesn't make sense. I just had to keep it real. But Smash, oh, man. Man, I just honestly couldn't be like, ugh. That's that one I'm still struggling with. What about you, bro?
Man, you mentioned some of them already. Stuff like Subnautica. I got really into that really late in the game. Didn't get enough time with it, but I do want to go back to it. Radiant Historia, Perfect Chronology, the remaster, re-edition, whatever, that came out for 3DS. Incredible RPG experience. What an incredible freaking game. Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, of course. Into the Breach is a big one. I ultimately couldn't put it on my list just from my other experiences. But overall, I really, really loved Into the Breach quite a bit. Mario Tennis Aces. Mario Tennis Aces. Really a lot of fun. Octopath Traveler, I still want to play. So I need to really get on that game. There's just so many. Overcooked 2. Overcooked 2 is probably one of my favorite co-op experiences of the year. I wanted to finish it with you, but a way out. We still need to finish that game.
Oh, yeah.
That was so much fun what we did get to play of it. And I'll say this real quick. Sea of Thieves, I want to give a special shout-out to.
Is shit.
I will say this, though, man. I had fun with the experience while it lasted. It wasn't worth the $60, but I did have fun with the experience while it lasted. Also, Todd, guess what I've got coming on the way from Amazon that I ordered when it was on sale? Fist of the North Star. I can't wait to play.
Yes.
I can't wait to play.
Before I forget, Forza, man. I got to get Forza. I got to get it.
Forza's so good.
Yeah.
Forza's so good. And I'll say,
I gotta get Forza, man.
My discovery of the year, one of the games that, I really have been enjoying. That's an old school game that I finally went back to, and actually played after all of these years of waiting, was Bayonetta. Bayonetta, that re-release for the Nintendo Switch was incredible. I really enjoyed it. That's been this year's. This been this year.
Wolfenstein.
Oh, Wolfenstein. There you go. But that's been.
Did
this
that come out this year?
No, that came out last year.
All right, I'm sorry, my man.
Who cares?
Go ahead,
it's
bro.
The
go
discovery
ahead,
for you. It's the discovery. But that's been this year's edition of Skip the Tutorial. We'll be back in 2019. If you want to visit us, you can go to facebook.com/skipthetutorialpod. Instagram.com/skipthetutorialpod, Twitter at @STT_pod. Of course, find us on anchor.fm and anywhere you get your podcasts. We're still working on the whole getting us back on IR. I don't know what happened with that. It was a weird feed, but we're going to be back on there. We got that thing almost worked out. If you want to buy a shirt, we're available over at TeePublic. We got a TeePublic store on there. Look for it on our Twitter and Facebook page. We got Skip the Tutorial shirts. We want to expand the show this year, so tell everybody as a New Year's gift to them, hey, go listen to Skip the Tutorial. You love these guys. They're fucking crazy, but you'll still love them even if you don't play video games.
Or you might not. You might
or
not.
Or might
love
not.
Them. And if you buy a shirt, like, let us know so we can put you in a giveaway.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, put you in the giveaway. But that's been 2018 with Skip the Tutorial. We'll be back in 2019. It'll be
probably with some CBD oil.
Yes, CBD oil. But anyway, until then, like we always do, stay humble.
Stay humble. Humble. Bundle.